European banks are told to be leery of Bitcoin, at least for now.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. There's news today that the European Banking Authority is recommending that banks there keep away from Bitcoin, a virtual currency favored by techies, libertarians, and sometimes criminals. The hope is for oversight to get put into place. Ben Mashinsky is a Bloomberg News reporter who's covering the story from London. Thanks for joining us.
Hello.
This European bank regulator wants financial institutions there to what? Stay away from Bitcoin for the time being?
Yeah, they've said sort of firms and consumers should avoid buying, holding, or selling any virtual currency, at least until they can sort of put some rules in place.
So clearly the bank regulator believes in redemption, that perhaps some order could be brought to this virtual currency?
They do believe it, yeah. They've identified sort of around sort of 70 risks, including money laundering, risk to volatility of the currency's value, which they think they can get under control. But it will probably take quite a lot of time.
Among the recommendations are what?
Well, they've got a few. I mean, they want kind of corporate governance safeguards for trading platforms. I think that's probably a nod to a few trading platforms that have had issues.
Issues. I do remember some out of Japan, for instance, where people lost a whole lot of value in their Bitcoin.
Yeah, exactly. They've also recommended setting up groups to kind of oversee each virtual currency to sort of avoid the possibility of people kind of taking them over and changing their protocol.
All right. So a bid to bring some oversight to the Bitcoin market, at least in Europe. Ben Mashinsky at Bloomberg News. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Drivers this summer are paying the highest gas prices since 2008, in part because of turmoil in Iraq. But mass transit riders are also feeling the sting of new rate increases in places like Boston, St. Louis, and D.C. Now, some of this is driven by increasing operating costs, but even with those fare hikes, the transit systems will still lose money. Tracy Samuelson explains.
There's a bit of a science to setting the fare for that swipe through a subway turnstile or ride on a public bus, says Steve Slickman with the Urban Transportation Center at the University of Illinois.
When you increase fares, it tends to discourage ridership. If you increase fares too much, you discourage so much ridership that you really don't have an increase in revenue.
The problem is, none of the transit systems across the country make enough from fares to pay for themselves, says Mitchell Moss, director of NYU's Rudin Center for Transportation.
The actual fare rider could be paying half of the rider cost, sometimes two-thirds of it, but there's got to be another source of revenue.
Much of that comes from states, but the Department of Transportation is also warning that without intervention from Congress, a critical source of federal funds for many transit and highway projects will run out of money later this summer. I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.
The orange groves of Florida are vast. California's Central Valley goes forever with lettuce, artichokes, and beyond. But China is the largest grower of fruits and vegetables in the world, followed by not the U.S., but India. However, in India, poor investment in cold storage warehouses and supply chain infrastructure mean that a lot of food is wasted before reaching consumers, about $7 billion every year. The BBC's Shilpa Kanon reports from a market in Delhi.
This is one of Asia's largest wholesale markets. Yet facilities haven't improved in decades. Vendors have to sit out in the open. There's water and mud everywhere, creating huge pools of stinking slush. Rotting vegetables and fruits in every corner. The air is thick with flies. The conditions reflect one of the biggest threats to food security in India. Improper storage means that 40% of what's produced perishes before reaching consumers. Most of the farmers carry their harvest in open trucks that are rarely refrigerated. So traders often have to check produce for quality before selling it in the market. Rajesh Kumar is a wholesale trader of potatoes and has been operating in this market for nearly 20 years.
The market is so small that farmers can't get their trucks into the market. So they end up waiting for days out on the roads with their trucks full of produce, which means food is just rotting away.
Cold storage is seen as one solution. India has just over 6,000 of these facilities, only a fraction of what it actually needs. So providing technology for climate-controlled warehouses is proving to be a good business for companies like Emerson.
So for a country for 1.2 billion people, if you can bring down pricing, it's good for everyone, and the dimensions are huge.
Pradipta Sen is the president of Emerson India.
Price of milk per litre potentially could go down by 30 to 40% if wastage was reduced.
India's inability to keep edible much of what it produces means tens of millions are left hungry. Child malnutrition levels here are twice as high as those in sub-Saharan Africa. Unless India invests in modern warehouses and cool trucks, the problems of hunger and food prices are only going to get worse.
The BBC's Shilpa Kanon there. We have a new show, Marketplace Weekend, with Lizzie O'Leary. She's been asking people for their buyer's remorse stories. Now, you see, I feel I have a black belt in buyer's remorse. For proof, I offer the story of something I once thought I would purchase for my cat. You can go to the I Can't Believe I Bought That Tumblr, and you can read my pathetic tale. Meg Kramer produces our tech coverage in the morning. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.